What would you do if a game of fun turned into absolute terror? Can a self-created Ouija board conjure a spirit? How would you react to being targeted by a demon? Today, we test the believability of the Ouija board demon. Where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
And tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Listen, I know some of you know, let me just say this, which you should know. You're looking at your phone or whatever you listen on. You see, it's a listener submission episode, but the Ouija board demon is a thing. And I'm like going through the listener submission and I'm like, oh, this is a good name for it. And I put it at the top of my document and then I do the research. I'm like, oh, this it's called that.
And you're like, oh no.
So we will probably eventually have an episode that's not a submission about what this is about. I'd probably be mad then that we use the name now, but it is what it is.
Part two.
I have to ask you a question that is nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Please.
Have you ever ate food with your other hand?
My left hand?
Well, I see for some people it would be their right hand.
That's
like
true.
My dad, he's a lefty. So that's why I didn't want to say.
So for me, with my your non-dominant hand.
Yeah.
Not that I can recall.
I highly recommend you try it because it throws off your entire rhythm. I think I tasted new flavors. I'm not kidding.
It tastes like left hand.
My right hand was holding something valuable and my left hand had to do the feeding. And I'm like, what am I tasting? I taste that little bit of paprika I put in there. And I didn't even put paprika in there. But listen, I really do highly recommend that. But on a much more relevant note, are you ready to get into this listener submission episode?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is this going to make me not want to do a Ouija board or to do a Ouija board?
I'm incredibly happy that you brought that up. Because let me just say, between our podcast, the Patreon, and our interview with Middle-Aged and Creeped Out, you have been pushing for us to try a Ouija board to spice things up.
I have.
Like we're a married couple.
I was going to say that.
Having bland-ass sex. So, let me use this episode as my rebuttal.
The whole thing?
The entire thing.
All right.
So this episode is brought to us by listener Holly and takes place in Illinois, which is currently being haunted by Andy Dalton. Ah, there it is. There's your football reference.
Okay.
You rest easy now. It's done. It's out of the way.
Thank God. I can sleep easy.
Now, this doesn't take place in Chicago, though. Although I will say, and I'm sure we've said it many times before, Chicago is one of those cities that overpowers the state.
Yeah.
Like, Chicago is more well-known than Illinois.
Yeah, I was like, what's Illinois?
Isn't there something in there? Yeah, Holly and this Ouija board. Yeah, so this takes place in southern Illinois, not Chi-Town. So, during Holly's sophomore year of high school, she and her two friends, Stone and B, began making and using Ouija boards. Now, B is a pseudonym. She asked to keep it private.
Okay, okay.
Because that's part of her form process. If you go on her website and you fill it out, we say, is there anything you don't want us to talk about? And they say, lie, make all this shit up. I'm like, all right, we got you.
No, but she
said to keep this friend private, so I will absolutely do that. Now, she didn't say anything about Stone, and I don't know if that's a nickname or not, but I really like it. And I hope,
Stone?
Maybe it's a last name.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Coincidentally, also my favorite Dave Matthews Band song. So let me ask you this. What materials do you think they use to make these Ouija boards?
Cardboard?
Yes.
Did I nail it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Cardboard and Sharpies. Essentially. Okay. So yeah, they went online and they looked up pictures of Ouija boards and they tried their best to replicate what they saw. Now they did have a planchette though. That was one thing I asked in a little back and forth between myself and Holly. I was like, so what did you use? What all did you do? And she said they did have a planchette. She doesn't remember where it came from. She doesn't know why they had it, but they did have a planchette. This feels really DIY and very high school. And I really like it, and I really respect it. And I'm talking about the process of creating. I don't mean necessarily building your own Ouija board. That's You'll find out. Maybe not the best idea. But you know what I mean? I feel like, okay, so when you're in high school, you know, you're 15 or whatever, and you don't have the means to buy stuff, I feel like there's option A where you just give up and you just watch TikTok on the couch. Or B, you're like, oh, I'm just going to make the best of what I have and make something. And then they did that. Maybe not the best choice.
Maybe it's not a good idea in this situation, but it's always good to get crafty.
Yeah, I hate crafting, though.
I don't like it either.
Oh, my God. And like, any day that I don't have to go and join Fabrics or Michaels is a good day. But anyway, back to Holly and Stone and B. So they took their DIY cardboard Ouija board and they went over to Stone's house, which, where it's located, is more rural than where Holly and B live. And they wanted to play around and they wanted to see what would happen. And, you know, set the stage, right? Like, less people, it's secluded, it's spooky. You want to be out in the woods. I don't know if he's in the woods, but he's further away from whatever town they're at. Because all he got was southern Chicago.
Yeah.
Not trying to get up, you know, put people's zip codes out there. So they played a few times at Stone's house, having fun, but they really weren't making any connections or anything like that. Not like Pask, where like every time she picked it up, it was like Omegle. But yeah. All of that changed on one particular night. So the evening started slow. And they were asking questions like, are there any spirits around? Or, are you a good spirit? Are you an evil spirit? This time, though, they were actually getting responses back. And naturally, they were shocked and intrigued by what was happening. Holly recalls that at this point, everything felt very innocent, although there was an energy growing and a feeling of intensity. The conversation between the friends and whatever they were speaking with actually transitioned its focus to Stone. It started paying more attention to him. It spelled out that it was Stone's relative, which was then revealed to be his recently deceased grandmother. Of course, you know, this had a pretty big impact on Stone.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right? So he started asking questions, and I imagine that he was pretty shocked by this revelation.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, I get to talk to my grandma. Like, where's the money hidden?
Where'd you hide it? Is it under the couch? It's under the couch, isn't
stuff
it?
Stuff like that, you know?
I don't know if I would go to money first if I could.
Well.
That's not a very uncommon thing, I think, though. They're not, like, ghost hunting. They're talking through a Ouija board. But I think if, you know, if you had somebody pass recently, I think maybe it's not the craziest thing to think about. But I don't think he, and this is just the way it was told to me, I don't think he put that out there. I think it was kind of given to him.
Right. Like, this was, if you were doing improv, he was receiving.
Yeah. They were yes-anding to him. Yes. Well, no, he was yes-anding technically to them.
Okay.
They were
okay.
They were so initiating.
He was going with it.
He was only, Grandma, is that you? And the entity's like, damn it, I have to play. Yeah, I'm your grandma. Like,
yes, and.
I was kind of doing my own thing. So they
yes, and I have a banana with me.
A spooky banana. Always green. It's never ripe. But, of course, as you could probably imagine, considering it is on this here Believing the Bizarre podcast, things did not go as planned. They soon found out that things were off. They asked questions that Stone knew his grandmother would know or at least relate to. But everything they got back, every response just felt off. They were very bland, non-convincing, completely unlike any way that he remembered his grandmother. So they started doubting the authenticity of this entity. It had been a charade. This wasn't Stone's grandmother they were speaking to. So confused about who they were speaking with, the friends demanded that the entity tell them its name. Immediately, all three of them felt the room's energy shift, like all of the happiness had been completely sucked out and replaced with a feeling of complete dread. The planchette moved wildly in their hands and began spelling out the words kill us and evil. Despite the fear and intensity, the three kept pushing to find out the name of who or what they were speaking with. First, it spelled Mama. And then, when they asked one more time who it was, the planchette violently slid back and forth. Z-O-Z-O. At that moment, the kids were absolutely horrified. In unison, they all began feeling ill. Stomach pains coupled with stabbing headaches. Stone's dogs went into a frenzy, barking and growling uncontrollably. and they claimed that they saw dark masses and shadow figures surrounding them in the room. They completely forgot about their hands, the planchette, and the process of properly closing the board. They were terrified beyond belief and wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. Rushing out of the house, they jumped in the Stones' car and headed back to town. They had the cardboard Ouija board with them and began tearing it to pieces, hoping to break the connection that they had with this dark entity. They ended up even burning the ripped cardboard pieces just to be sure that it was completely destroyed. Feeling the silence and dread weighing heavy on everyone, Stone decided to turn on the radio in the car and try and alleviate some of the tension. After just a few seconds on the station that they chose, the radio instantly switched on its own to an unfamiliar channel, a radio station they had never heard in their town before. It felt religious to them, but instead of God, it spoke of evil, almost in a cult-like way. It chilled them to the bone, and they quickly turned the radio off. Meanwhile, while he was driving, Stone heard indiscernible whispers in his ear. Eventually, they arrived at Holly's house, where B planned on spending the night. Stone cautiously went back to his house after dropping them off. Trying to forget their experience, the girls went to Holly's room to lie down, decompress, and try to get some sleep. But they could still feel the presence around them, right there in Holly's room, like a thick fog. The room started emitting the same uneasiness that they felt at Stone's house. Suddenly, a huge black shadow figure appeared directly in front of Holly's closet. Freaking out, the girls decided to leave and go to B's house. They needed to see if they could escape it. Their hope was low, but they couldn't stay at Holly's. As they were leaving, they woke Holly's mom, who had fallen asleep in the living room. Holly tried her best to explain what had happened, what they were experiencing, and the urgency regarding why they had to go to B's house. Now, it was late, it was a school night, so Holly's mom was upset about that, let alone everything else. Plus, in Holly's words, her mom was very religious and always believed you should ignore evil spirits and pay them no mind. But still, she agreed to let them go, and B's mom picked Holly and B up to take them to their house.
This is so tense. Oh my God.
Okay, so this is a good enough stopping point as any for this story. What are your thoughts, and where is your mind at?
Again, this is so intense. Oh my God, shivers down my spine. Like, it feels like the opening to a scary movie.
Yes, like the lead, as they would call it. It'd be a long lead,
but it's a good hook, too.
Yes, it is so theatrical. It is so dramatic. And just so that people, like, don't think we're completely giving it the stiff arm, which is another football reference, I'm going to say, we will be touching a little bit on...
Whoa. Dude, must have been a ghost.
Dude, she literally said, I would recommend not saying that name, but...
Let's not.
I will bleep it, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I was going to tell you to bleep it, but then your stomach just went,
I'm a demon.
Herb-a-derb-a-derb.
Is Cooper up here?
No, dude, don't be f***ing doing that shit, for real.
I was just asking.
No,
I don't want him to pop up. I don't want him to pop up.
Oh my God. Oh my God, dude. Don't be f***ing doing that. Because he's not. This door has been shut.
Okay, all right, cool.
Oh my God. But this is terrifying, right?
Obviously. You know why we're getting so sidetracked right now? Is because we're scared.
Are you gonna keep the cat thing in or no?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it.
Okay, yeah. I'm just trying to justify. I was normally that wouldn't freak me out, but this stuff is like...
Yeah, no, I just...
Also, and I don't know if you're gonna keep this in or not. It might have been edited out, but she said not to mention its name.
Because
there is power in name.
Yeah, I agree.
But we're literally going to be talking about it later. Because I know some of you that are listening are like, oh, yeah, that.
And, yeah, I'm not saying the name.
Okay. So, back to the story.
All right. Okay. Well,
any other thoughts? Where are you at?
Man, I don't know. The radio thing really freaks me out.
Yeah, that is like... when you look at a big story or like a cake, we'll talk about cake. I think I used a cake as a reference.
Yeah.
I did for something.
You did.
Something I did a
recently.
Cake. I think last episode. That detail is like the perfect, not frosting. That's too much. What's a little thing on a cake?
the ganache on the inside.
Yeah, it's that. It's like you'll probably forget about it later. Something might remind you about it. And you're like, oh, that was crazy. But it's one of those perfect details. It's like the perfect side, the perfect complimentary side or spice or something where it's like, it doesn't really impact it, but it's huge. Like that in itself is such an amazing detail. Like, yeah, the Ouija board, the demon, but then how random is it that they're driving home, they go to turn on the radio to get some type of peace of mind, and then it's not like they turn the radio on to that station. That that would be like, okay, maybe it's late at night and there's like, you know, some weirdo, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But it literally, they picked one. They finally picked one that they liked, and then it switched on its own mm-mm. to this cult-like mm-hmm. evil sermon type thing.
Man, I don't know how we're going to get... I feel like we're in a movie. I'm like, how do these people get out of the situation? Yeah, it
sounds terrible.
Yes.
Well, we're about to find out.
Okay. All right.
So, recap. Crazy stuff happens. Yes. They leave Stone's house. They go back to Holly's house. It's Holly and Bea right now. They're like, we're in the clear. And then they see this huge shadow figure. And they're like, we're not in the clear.
Right.
And then they go to leave to go to Bea's house. And her mom's like, what are you doing? It's a school night. You have trigonometry tomorrow. And she's like, f*** the trigonometry. I got a demon following me. And she's like, ignore it. And she's like, I can't. And she's like, Bea's mom coming to pick us up. And if that doesn't ground you in the age we're at right now, that took me back reading it. I'm like, why don't you just drive? Why don't you just drive?
Wait on a ride. And like, they call demon, Stone up. Like, pulling the hair of the girls. Like, you just ignore it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's just really staticky in here. So anyway, one of Bea's parents comes to pick them up. And they're on the way to Bea's house, hoping that they can escape this terrible entity. The entire car ride, as Holly sat in the back seat, she said it felt like there was something directly behind her, just inches away. And no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't shake the feeling. Both Holly and Bea acknowledged quietly in the back seat that they could feel this dark entity following them. When they got to Bea's house, her grandmother suggested that they begin a prayer circle. Holly was unable to close her eyes and pray. She could feel this dark entity had entered Bea's house. Somehow, she knew it was nearby. Not just nearby, it was in the room right across from them, staring at her. Now, I don't know if she saw this or if she saw this in terms of like, not imagining, mm-hmm. but a vision. I don't know if it was a vision.
Like in her mind's eye.
Yeah, I don't know if it was subconsciously sent to her or if she physically looked, but she claims that she saw something large, completely black, and either dog-like or goat-like in the room.
Either way, that's not so good.
And that the smell of sulfur overwhelmed Bea's house until about 4 a.m. Naturally, they barely slept that night.
Oh, yeah.
So, next day at school, bell rings, Holly met up with Stone to try to regroup and discuss everything that happened. Because remember, he left. And who knows what he experienced.
No, I know, right?
Now, if you think about something being able to only be in one place at one time, he's probably like, well, this is fine.
Yeah, but if not, if there's multiple things going on.
Then, yeah. So
what kind of night did Stone have?
I have no information on what he had. So she's telling, but he didn't know about like going
to. He got home, he slept like a rock.
He's like, oh man, that was a crazy dream last night. But he had no idea that they went from Holly's house to Bea's house. So they talked about that. And she's telling them everything that happened along with some other friends in the class. But she actually mentioned the name that the entity said on the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she said that, literally a moment later, the teacher's hole puncher flew off the desk and a stationary chair flipped over on its side. She said the entire class, literally even the teacher, like freaked out and kind of left the room.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ah.
So over the next few weeks and months, does that hit you harder because you're a teacher?
It does. I think it does.
You're
going to
be looking at that hole punch a little differently tomorrow. So over the next few weeks and months, the paranormal and terrifying experiences continued. They would wake up at 3:33 a.m. They would hear bangs of three on their walls, again, like we talked about on Roland Doe, the mocking of the Holy Trinity, and doors would open and close by themselves. So here's a little Stone anecdote. One particular night, Stone heard a noise under his bed. this is cinematic, right? Where you're sitting on your bed and you hear something underneath. And Stone mustered up all the courage he had, and he crept down. And he lifted the hanging sheet, and he took a peek under his bed. And there he found the cardboard Ouija board that they had burned.
That they burned.
Completely intact.
Oh.
Yeah. So, looking back now, Holly noted that with her and Stone being less religious than B, she actually experienced less hauntings than Stone and Holly. It's just a side note.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe B sacrificed a small animal for the demon to lay off.
Maybe.
You never know. So while the intensity would come and go, Holly felt the presence for years. 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 She traveled, she's moved, she's been a lot of different places, but still, she can feel the entity lurking nearby. A relative of Holly actually gave her a blessed seal of Saturn, which is intended to provide protection. Are you familiar with those at all? They're like...
Is it like a little crystal stone?
Yeah, it's like a little stone crystal. Mm-hmm. I'm not incredibly knowledgeable on these. I did a little bit of research, especially on the Saturn one, because that's the one she got. And what I found... And they consider it a talisman. Now, if I looked at it, I would say the same thing, like a stone or a crystal or something mm-hmm. like that. Interesting. Stone. Yeah. Like the Dave Matthews Band song.
Yeah.
This talisman, the Saturn-labeled one, is said to be able to help command fearsome forces of nature and to help you face your fears.
Okay.
So it wasn't random. It wasn't like they went to a garage, what are those called? Garage sale. Yeah. Or a yard sale.
Like, look at this pre-rock.
Tag sale. State sale. And and just give it to you and say, like, hey, look, it's got Saturn on it. It's a pretty cool planet, right? But no, it was intended. It had intention behind it.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. And Holly said it actually worked a little bit. It actually helped lessen some of the activity that she was experiencing. And that kind of brings us to now, which is crazy. So she said recently... She's been feeling the presence growing still.
No.
And she decided to contact the demonic entity using a grid and pendulum, which I read that and I was like, I don't know what that means. So I looked into it a little bit, and by pendulum, they mean like the chain. It's like an 8-inch chain mm-hmm. with like a rock on it.
My mom used to have one.
Yeah. So just so I'm not knowledgeable enough to actually like tell people how to use it or what to do. What I read, it seemed like it was less about contacting. It felt more interior than exterior. I'm not saying Holly's wrong. I'm just going off of like the one webpage I read.
Right.
It seemed more like it could feel little impulses in you tapping into your subconscious, and it would react based on things about you. Now, that's just one thing I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, hers, the way she's using it, because I've also seen where they have like almost like a Ouija board where there's like a yes and no, like different things on the bottom. Do you have anything to speak to it? You might know more about it than I do.
I mean, I use my mom's.
You've used it?
Yeah. She said it was less intense than a Ouija board, so I thought it was okay.
It's Ouija light.
Yeah, exactly.
What one picture I saw was like yes, no, and stuff on the bottom. Did you have that grid where it had said different things on the bottom?
I didn't have a grid. Basically, all it did
you could have made one, bro.
All it did was she told me if it swung a certain way, it meant yes. If it swung another way, it meant no.
I got. Did it swing for you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was creepy.
Do you know who you talked to?
No.
Are you haunted?
I don't think so.
I think you are.
Oh.
How many years? This was like, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah,
probably?
This is a long time ago.
Yeah, you would know. You would know. But anyway, back to Holly. She was using that, this grid and pendulum, to once again contact this entity to learn more about it. And she was feeling more confident because she had this blessed seal of Saturn.
Yeah, she felt like she had a bulletproof vest on.
Yeah, exactly. So once again, she's doing this. She has a new friend by her side. I don't know where B's at. I don't know where Stone's at. They're you know, probably still being haunted too. But she wanted to know the true identity of who or what was haunting her. I don't think she was willing to accept what it said it was. And it told Holly the same names before, but she kept pushing on and pushing on. And the name that came through was, and I don't think I'll butcher this, and maybe you should bleep this too.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
No.
It's apparently a very notorious demon, which is, this is, and I don't know why this would be the case. But she said that the name of this demonic entity is actually on her seal of Saturn.
I don't know why. What?
Unless it's saying, well, I'll protect you from, and then checklist. And
maybe.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, this isn't good for this. In 90 days, you know, you get a return or refund. Yeah. So use it now. And so she also said that it told her through the, I'm assuming through the pendulum and the grid, but it said that it has an attachment to her and it wants her soul.
Oh.
Now, oddly, it also said that it protects her, but it fears her angels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't, and she put a question mark with that as well. So I don't think she's saying like, oh, as a matter of fact, this is,
like
I get
a guardian
it. I think,
angel or something?
I don't know. I don't think she knows. Okay. I think she's just being, she's the messenger, essentially.
Gotcha.
And trying to interpret. It's still, it's weird to think that like, if this is like a very old, like if you believe this to be true up to this point, if you're along the ride and you think she is communicating with this thing, is it like she is literally communicating with this ancient thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're having a conversation. It's very strange.
That's surreal.
And I got friends that won't text me back. I'm the friend sometimes that won't text back, and I don't mean to. It just happens. You ever like look at it, respond in your head?
Yes, all the time.
And then you shut your phone or something happens.
Yeah.
And then you like go through your phone a month later.
And you're like, oh no, I ghosted.
And sometimes you just can't come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
So now, 2021, it's gotten to the point that she still feels it's around.
Mm-mm.
But when it becomes too overwhelming, when she feels it, especially late at night, especially between the hours of
3 o'clock
and 4. Yeah. So 3. She calls upon her angels. And I don't know what that entails. I don't know if it's a prayer she has. I'm not a religious person, so I don't know. But she says that this causes the demonic entity to retreat, and she can feel the room actually lighten. On a positive note, she says she no longer fears this entity, but she's curious and she wants to learn more. I don't know if she's continuing conversations, and I hope she is protected. I don't know what that means. I've never jumped into that, but I hope this isn't a false sense of security.
I hope so too.
On another positive note, and it was a disclaimer that she added over Instagram, she said no one was ever physically harmed, scratched, or anything like that.
That's very good to hear.
Amazing, right?
Yes.
Very positive. So before we get to the discussion, then that's the end. That's Holly. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you, Holly.
For this theatrical, terrifying, literally.
I'm still terrified.
When you said, is your cat Cooper up here? I literally was ready to leave. And this is really, I'm going to make this about me for a second. So Holly, I apologize. It's about Tyler right now. It has been so long since I've been genuinely terrified during an episode we've done. And I'm not happy to admit that. But sometimes I get so detached. I'm like, I got to put a good episode out there. I got to be good. I have to use this inflection, be interesting. This is a peek behind the curtain here. You know, like make it a good episode, that sometimes I feel like I'm a couple steps behind the story in terms of content and like where I'm mm-hmm. at, like putting myself in there. I always try to have a step back moment. Like for this episode, I thought that the radio station change was a really good moment to be like, this is crazy. But without even trying, I got sucked into this and freaked out.
It's a very scary story. I had shivers the whole time.
Yes. So thank you, Holly. But before we get to the discussion, I want to talk a little bit about the entity, the ZOZO.
Okay.
Because I had to look it up, right?
Yeah.
Which is also interesting. Shout out one of the other podcasts we've interacted with, and they're awesome. And let me tell you this. And this is a plug. And you know what? Oh, no, I'll do the plug after this. We'll get to the plug. Okay. But Hidden in the Shadows, they did an episode on Ouija boards. I listened to it last summer, and they had a name that they had come out of the Ouija board, and it also started with a Z. So I literally went back and listened to that episode today. It was Zeke. It wasn't this name, but still the Z's. It's like,
so scary.
Yeah. So this entity that she talked to is literally known as the Ouija board demon. If you search that in there, you won't find this episode, unfortunately. I will try my best to get this episode ranked, but, you know, it is what it is. But it's known to be a fallen angel banished from heaven and absolutely sadistic. It likes to mimic voices. It pretends to be others. Mm-mm. It preys on weaknesses. One of its other tells is he likes to let those know that he communicates with exactly when they're going to die, telling them how they're going to die. Also, tie this into a previous episode, there are a lot of people that believe it is this demon that possessed Roland Doe, which I didn't know at the time of that. But if you think about it, the way that interacted, how did he get possessed? He played the Ouija board It was telling the priest when they were going to die, looking for, it pretended to be his aunt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, mm-hmm. it's a lot, like, it's actually really crazy. And let me just say that this wasn't picked out and timed for that reason. Holly submitted this at the beginning of this year. It's been over six months. So it's not like, and we go in order that we get them. When it wasn't, it just happened to be this case.
It just tells you the power in words, because out people behind my curtain, I'm freaked out. I'm freaking out. Like, this, I don't like this story. It's scary shit.
Yeah, we'll get to it in the discussion, but there's definitely reasons why. You know, if you look at this versus something like the Dover Demon or even Fresno Nightcrawlers or Mothman,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, anything like that. Aliens, what makes this different than those? But the good news, if you don't want this to be creeping up on you, and I don't know if this, I feel like humans like to put things in boxes and we like to make rules for other things that are out of our control. But if there is such thing as a rule for this demon, the Ouija board demon, it's said that it doesn't just, you know, peek up, you know, sneak up behind you, you turn around and you scream and it jumps in your mouth. And it's,
mm-hmm.
the way that you would interact with this demon is by, one, playing with a Ouija board, or two, you purposefully are trying to interact with something in the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to call out to it. Now, that's humans putting our interpretation rules on it. I'm not saying that's true. If you get possessed by it, don't come to me and be like, wait a minute, you said, get yourself a blessed Saturn. Blessed Saturn? Is that what it was called?
Stamp Saturn.
Seal of Saturn. Okay. Stamp seal.
I don't know.
One of those things.
Yeah.
But that is the episode, The Ouija Board Demon. Thank you, Holly, and let's move on. So before we get to the discussion, we just want to say thank you to all of our patrons, everybody in Patreon that's helping support the show. It means the world to us. We love putting out extra content. We say it every week, but I'll say it again. We got quizzes. We have director's cuts. We have interviews. And that leads me to what I was plugging before. So this month, which you can listen to if you go to patreon.com/believeinthebizarre, this month, our interview, our listener submission interview, because, and we'll hit Holly up eventually. I can't wait for that. As long as we don't force you. Charlie doesn't sneak up behind you with a gun.
Yeah, no.
And I put a camera in your face and like, let's talk about your story. You know, we ask.
No, it's a fun time.
Which, by the way, Nathan, if you're out there, I won't say the episode, but we tried reaching out. I don't think the email worked, or I think you deleted your Instagram.
We didn't see it, yeah.
But if you wanna be interviewed, hit us up. We'd love to have you on.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed Isaac from Hidden in the Shadows, which is where I was referring to with the Ouija board, where they heard, or, you know, Megan on that podcast heard the name Zeke. But he was our interview from the Multiverse episode, and this interview will literally blow your mind. But I definitely think I want to try and get a minute of it up, because it is literally mind-blowing. So one, go check out Hidden the Shadows podcast. Two, if you want to hear an interview with them that'll absolutely blow your mind and kind of relates to this,
yeah,
I totally recommend checking out our Patreon and listening to that, because it is amazing. But thank you to all our patrons. Now let's go to the discussion. All right, Charlie, what are your thoughts? Where are you at?
This whole thing is terrifying. This whole thing is just terrifying, and I feel bad for the situation these kids got into.
Do you feel bad that you've been trying to push me to do a Ouija board?
No.
Would you want to be Stone, B, or Holly? I'm just saying.
Stone.
That's kind
of a cool name.
It's kind of the song that I like, but
I guess B.
All right, cool.
But I feel bad for these kids. I guess they're not kids anymore. I feel like this is such a terrible situation, and I'm really upset that it's still affecting their lives, or at least Holly's life.
Yeah, it's sad going through it and seeing that it still is around. I'm glad that she has as much of a control on it that you can have,
yeah.
I think. But, I mean, it's also kind of like a warning to future people. It's like, yeah, it doesn't just go away.
It's there. It's almost like a disease.
I wonder if she's tried hitting up a priest or something like that.
I don't know. That'd be a good follow-up question.
Yeah.
That would be a good question for our interview.
I hope she wants to be on our interviews for Patreon. This was one thing that I found very interesting about it. And just to kind of to touch on what you just said, I think I needed this fear that I have right now doing an episode. Because like I was saying before, and I don't want to go in that spiel again, but I've been feeling a little detached lately, so I feel grounded right now. And it's kind of it sucks that I'm using their experience to get there. But, you know, But I thought this was very interesting. It's cool to know a fake Ouija board works. And I was thinking about this and I was trying to rationalize it. Because when we did Past Story, The Cursed Cabin.
Yeah.
And she was very honest. Like, oh yeah, it's a Hasbro. Mm-hmm. Like, you know the brand. Like, it could be Milton Bradley. It's Hasbro. It's like, wait a minute. How can this child's mass-produced toy, essentially, make all this terrifying things happen? And that's kind of been in the back of my mind with Ouija boards, where it's almost kind of lowered my, you know, disarmed me a little bit. And then I'm reading this, and they literally took cardboard and Sharpies. And I think it just kind of came to a head where I was like, okay, it's not the item. It is the intention.
I was about to say, it's all about the intention, I think.
Yes. Maybe you need something to help you kind of bridge what you're trying to do, but it really seems like it's just there to help you along the way. It's your intention to conjure something that is what's actually causing it. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know what you would do outside. Like, is an EVP almost the same thing?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I just know that this episode in general has made my stomach hurt. This one's scary.
So what are some things that stuck out to you? Like, some details or some moments? Like, what really has kind of creeped into your head and is sticking around?
All of it. Like, the radio, the in school, the shadow figures,
Yeah, it's crazy that the story has so much that shadow figures are kind of like, oh yeah, them too.
I know.
But could you imagine you're doing this? Like, I always rewrite, I'm sure you do too, what they send us, because you want it to be in your own words. Mm-hmm. But one thing she kept saying, which is totally accurate, it's just a word. There's certain words I don't like using because either the connotation or it feels... She used the word vibe a lot, which mm-hmm. now is very like, oh yeah, my vibe. So yeah, it's kind of I don't want... But I think the way she used it was really good, because every time it was like, when they asked what its name was and it gave it to him, she's like, the vibe completely changed. Yeah. And that makes it seem like a very millennial or Gen Z.
It does, yeah.
But at the same time...
But also it puts you in the same place.
Yeah, it's like, imagine you're doing this, you're having fun, you're like, oh my God, we're actually connecting with something. It just makes you think like a Dementor, like mm-hmm. Harry Potter. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just gone. Like, it's sucked out. And you're just looking around the room, and you just see, like, shadows flickering and dancing and forming into people all around you.
Mm-mm.
Like, mm-mm. And now that, like, it's not like, it's barely unknown for her now, too, that she got names. She can literally research these things, and it's like, you can learn. It's like, I even read that this entity will trick paranormal investigators just to make them doubt themselves, where it'll lie and say, like, they're like, help me, I'm a scared little boy and there's something evil around here, but mm-hmm. it's the little boy. Mm-hmm. Or it'll say, like, an investigator or a psychic will go in a room and say, I'm sensing four spirits here, and then it will say, no, there's 10, just to make the psychic start doubting itself.
Yeah,
like that type of, it's like, ugh, it's just a sadistic based on what I saw, and I haven't even dived into it that much.
This stuff is scary stuff.
This is something that we alluded to a little bit earlier that I think is why this is so scary. And it's like, we're talking about Dover Demon, we're talking about the Jersey Devil, you know, aliens. Those things almost feel like weird animals that are just out and about, and we don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they want.
We don't know their intentions.
They just are. You know, an alien might not have the same morals as us, but like a lion and an antelope, it's a terrible, terrifying thing when an antelope or a lion comes and destroys an antelope and tears it apart and eats it. But the lion isn't like, I'm doing this to inflict pain. It's like, I need to eat so I can carry my species on. Where demons, their entire intention is to mess with you and to hurt you and to scare you. Like, the manipulation behind it makes it so, it's just inherently evil.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm not like a particularly religious person, it still hits me. You know what I mean? Like, obviously I haven't played with a Ouija board.
Right.
So,
like I've said before, I will never trust a little child spirit.
That's true. You did say that during, I think,
never,
the girl and the paper magic and the girl, I think is the first time you
never,
said
ever.
It. If you're a legitimate little girl spirit trying to hit up Charlie,
don't even. I won't answer those decks.
No. So if you have anything else you want to touch on, I'm all ears. But if not, where on the believability scale do you lie?
I am good at putting this to rest. Believable.
Here's my only concern. And it's not fair to her because she's telling it from her experience. I'm not, it's almost too on point. Like when you research, like if you put her story on a table and then you look up other people's experiences, it so accurately represents what other people say. And it's like, there's like, because I try to be skeptical by nature, it almost, I always have in the back of my mind now, it's like somebody just, you know, they watch a video or a YouTube video about this thing and then they write up a story and then they send it to us and, you know, we're like, oh my God, it's believable.
That's us.
And they're laughing and texting their friends like, oh my God, they actually bought it. That's when something lines up so perfectly. It's almost when something has like a urban legend feel to it, like a Robert the Doll or something like that, where it just perfectly fits. Like the names, the fake names that it gave her are perfect. The way it acted, like it literally,
it's
it was
like a textbook model.
Yes. It was like, it read chapter one, you do this, chapter two, you do this. It was by the book.
Yeah.
And that makes it feel like when you're reading a Reddit story or something and it perfectly matches exactly what you would, like even if it's fake and you know it's fake, like Slender Man, like you know what it's supposed to do and how people are supposed to react. When I did a little research on the entity, it just fits so perfectly that I'm like, man, I hope, well, actually, I hope it's not. Like, actually, in a perfect world, I hope she's not being terrorized.
I agree.
But all of that to say that I don't find that to be the case. I just have to be honest and say that that did run through my head. There's it's like the little details. There were so many little details, so specific. And she was even like, I have to talk to my friend Stone. I'm going to hit him up and make sure that this was correct or that this happened. And the witnesses in the classroom. So while I think there are some moments in there, like the cardboard reappearing, I don't know if a demon, I mean, who knows what a demon can or can't do. I'm not one to say. There are little moments where I'm like, but overall, I think I give it as a whole viable. I think there are parts of it that are absolutely believable. I think there's some parts of it I want to know more about. I definitely lean more believable than I'm closer to believable than skeptical.
Yeah.
But for right now, as terrified as I am, I'm giving this a viable. So that is our listener submission episode, The Ouija Board Demon, which isn't just a listener, like the Vanishing Woman.
It's a thing.
Like the Vanishing Woman or the Fort Collins Wraith, like we take what the story gives us and we turn it into a title. It literally blew my mind when I did this. And maybe I should be ashamed that I didn't know it existed beforehand, but I made the title and I'm researching it. And I'm like, oh. So who knows when we do, maybe we won't ever do this because it's too spooky.
I don't know.
But if we ever do this again, I don't know what we'll name it.
Our audience is like, you little baby boys.
Yeah.
Stupid babies.
Well, you play the Ouija board and say it by name. Specifically ask for it. I'll give you its extension number. Give it a shot.
No. No.
I want to say this also really quick too. Thank you to one, everybody who came to Porch Rocker and supported Akron Arts.
Thank
whether
you.
That be vendors, food trucks, music. I want to say this. Funky Notions. Check them out on Instagram, Funky Notions. I got my sister's a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. And what they do, which they are so creative and crafty, they probably spend every day at Michael's and Pacatan's and Joann Fabrics. I don't. But they take plaid button-up shirts and then they take old band t-shirts and they put like the shirt logo and they sew it on the back. It looks so cool. They're reasonably priced. I got my sister once for Christmas. I don't think she listens, but if she does listen, I don't think she listens, but maybe we'll say, I got her.
I guess we'll find out.
I got her a cool one. Maybe we'll say that. Maybe we'll cut everything before that.
Okay.
But I recommend checking out them, but seriously, everybody who came and talked to us and picked up a shirt or a mug and maybe even started listening from that experience.
Yeah. Thank you so much. If you did, it was nice meeting you.
It was fantastic meeting you. Hello. Again,
you got the advantage because most of our listeners have not met us in person,
and that's probably why they still listen.
Well, hey,
maybe you were there when you got to see Charlie's dogs.
Oh yeah,
that was cool.
Maybe Apollo tried to kill you.
Unless you were a dog. If you were a dog listening right now, you probably did not want to stop. Thank you to the person that was walking by and giving pizza. I mean, we paid for
it. Oh my God.
But that was a lifesaver.
That was amazing.
It was hot. But we had a great time. So thank you everybody who came out to that. It was a blast. I know last episode technically came out after, dropped after.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've recorded since that.
It was so much fun. It was actually, don't tell Tyler, it was more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Good. It was a lot. You know, it was long hours, but it was so much fun. And if you follow us on Instagram and you saw that sweet jam session shirt, which now we can actually talk about.
Yeah.
It's got the Mothman singing. It's got the alien guy, the gray, on guitar. He's a little tall for a gray, but it's got Bigfoot on bass, and it has the Loveland Frogman on drums. And I'm thinking by the time that this episode drops, that shirt will be up on our website. So if you want that shirt, that awesome, they're playing on a porch because Porch Rocker, it won't have the date. We'll get rid of that because that doesn't pertain to the people that weren't there. But if you want that awesome jam session cryptid shirt, that's up on our website, believeinthebizarre.com. Go to shop merch. We also have other sweet designs. So check all of those out if you're looking to pick up some sweet Believing the Bizarre swag.
And if you like this episode we just did, you're like, oh man, that was great.
thank you. So I think it was Sean. I don't know your real name. I mean, that could be a real name. Thank you comment. For actually doing that. You actually left. Oh, man.
Oh, man. That was great. Oh, go ahead and leave that review. Because it makes our day.
It was fantastic. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.